Yes, it is. All right, have your Bible. Turn to Genesis 6 with me tonight, please. Genesis 6. Now, if you believe the Bible, it makes a big difference in the way you look at everything. Everything. If you believe the Bible, you judge all literature by the Bible. By the Bible. If the Bible speaks to something, then the Bible takes precedent immediately over whatever you're dealing with. The Bible is the authority and whatever else. If it agrees with it, good for it. But if it disagrees, out the door. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Father, bless this book now. Your holy name. Amen. You can be seated. I don't think people understand how important the generations are in the book of Genesis. In the very beginning, you have two distinct lines of generations. You have those of Cain, and you have those of Abel. And these are two generations. They're two different strains of people. And you'll find the Bible follows them down and shows you their names. It gives you a list of those of Abel, and then it gives you a list of those of Cain. Of course, we know when we say Abel, we're talking about the son of Adam. We know it was Seth. But in any event, when you look at these, you know the generations are here in the Bible to give you an idea that God is he's interested in generations. And this is why the word in verse number 9 says that Noah was perfect in his generations. What does this mean? Well, if you want to get home this afternoon, take a little time and look it up. The word perfect is the Hebrew word tanim. And that word means he was without adultery. He was not adulterated. There was no mixture. His generation was perfect all the way back to Adam. What's going on here? Well, whatever the purpose of the angels, whatever motive they might have had in doing what they did, God has a greater motive when he does something. He doesn't have to tell us what it is. He's the Almighty. And so they came down, and Satan used them to corrupt the seed of mankind. Corrupt it. And Genesis chapter number 3, verse 15, a prophecy is made that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. In order for this seed of the woman to be perfect in his generation, he had to follow the bloodline that we have here from Adam all the way down to his birth. In plain words, when Christ was born, he was a pure man. He was not an admixture of mankind. He was a real man, a pure man. He was the God-man. He was God manifest in flesh and as a man. And so when we come to the book of Genesis chapter number 6, we find there's a problem. And that problem has to do with the generations and genealogies. Keep in mind, I know it's wicked. I understand that. I know the wickedness of man was great. The Bible says that. And I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But the most important thing about Genesis chapter number 6 is the fact that God kept the bloodline of humanity perfect through Noah. And he traveled from one world into another. He built an ark. That ark was 450 feet long by 45 feet wide by about 75 feet tall. These figures are depending on who you read and how long a cubit is. So just take that as a general figure. Those who build ships today, who know about navigation, say that the figures that's given for Noah's ark is about perfect. They say that it's unbelievable at how well that this fits into the scheme of the ratios of when you build a ship, the ratio that's laid out for you in the book of Genesis. Now, how would they know that? How would they know that? What ocean could he have possibly been around to know to build a ship like that? And, of course, he built the ship because it was going to rain. They didn't believe it was going to rain, but Noah knew it was going to rain. God told him it was going to rain. It rained. It rained for 40 days, and it rained for 40 nights. And the earth was covered with water, and God brought judgment upon the earth with water. That ark that Noah built was something that is physical. It was a physical thing. It's not a spiritual thing. It has spiritual truths about it, certainly. Many spiritual lessons can be learned from it, certainly. But the ark itself was a physical thing, 450 feet long, 45 feet wide, and about 75 feet tall. Three stories in that ark. Three stories. And my friend, that ark was made to hold the animals of the earth. Now, God chose what would go into that ark, and they went in according to what the scripture says. Have no problem believing that. Maybe you don't believe it. I don't know. Some folks today have a problem believing that that an ark was made. I've heard the scholars say before that there's no way that a whale could swallow a man. Well, a man got caught up in a whale's mouth the other day. How many of you saw that? Amen. And that whale was about to put him under. Maybe somebody needs to tell that whale that he can't swallow a man. But in any event, the ark floated. Had no rudder, no sail, no way to guide it. It was free upon the water and in the providence of God. And it floated. Then it came down on what's called the mountains of Ararat. Mountains of Ararat. There's two basic, peaks at Ararat. There's a larger one and a smaller one. And when this ship came down on top of that mountain, it came down when the waters receded from the face of the earth. Now, this is important, what I'm about to say to you. When that ship came down, it came down in one piece. But when that ship came down on top of that mountain, it's been thousands of years since that happened. And it could very easily have been broken up over the ages. And by doing so, you could find parts of the ark in different locations on the mountains of Ararat. A lot of folks dispel the fact that just because it wasn't, because someone found some of the ark here and someone found some of the ark over here, that it couldn't possibly be the same ark. Well, I'd be careful before I said that, because you've got to keep in mind, this is about 2,345 B.C. When Noah built that ark, he built that ark with trees that had been growing for 1,600 years. Seen one like that lately? 1,600. Well, where do you get that figure? That's when God made it. He made it. And then about 2,345 B.C., they were in the ark and it was floating on the water. 1,600 years these trees had been growing. In plain words, he had natural resources available. He had natural resources available. There's a lot of stories about people who have ascended to the top of Ararat down through the ages. And folks, it goes all the way back into the ancient past, not just recently, but into the ancient past. And not only have Christians ascended to the top of Ararat, so have Muslims. So have anyone that has anything to do with the scripture. They have been looking for this ark. Even to this day, they are looking for the ark. I want to give you two tonight that I think have a lot of credibility. One of them is by a French man. His name was Fernand Navarra. 1955, he ascended to the top of this mountain with his son. And it's a long story about the time he did this and this and this, and I'll just get to the point. He eventually found an ark. He cut a piece of the wood, cut it off, because it's obviously he couldn't carry all that down. So he cut a piece of it off, and he brought it down, and he looked at it, and it was hand-tooled. In plain words, it had been worked. This piece of wood had been cut. It had been worked to form the hull or whatever part of the ship that it was. He had it carbon dated, and it was carbon dated at about 5,000 years old. Now, that, of course, runs us back close to the time of the flood. Remember, 2,000 years ago to Christ, another 2,345 years beyond that. You're looking at 4,300 and something. So when you carbon date something, even in the general area of that, we're looking at something that has a lot of validity to it. Now, here's the problem. Immediately, the skeptics and the debunkers descend upon this, and they do everything that they can to say that this is a hoax, that there are stories about him carrying the wood up one side of the mountain and then carrying it down the other. to try to do away with the witness and the testimony of this Frenchman. The Frenchman died swearing that what he did was right and that he was no hoax, that everything he did was without dispute. And so therefore that wood that he brought down was photographed. And if you want to see it, I'll leave it up here for you tonight. But here's a piece of the wood that Navarre brought down, and this is hand-tooled, and this is a piece, according to him, of the Ark of Noah. That's a remarkable thing, don't you think? And I'll leave it up here so you can see it. A piece of the Ark. I'd like to have a piece of it, wouldn't you? I'd put armed guards around it. But anyway, this 5,000-year-old piece of wood, they say now, has been retested with carbon-14, and it's only about 600, 800, 900 years old, something like that. It's nowhere near the 5,000. Well, I have a question. Let's say it's 600. What's a ship doing on the top of this mountain? Tell me about it. Tell me about it. What's a ship doing up there? Who drug that up there? Now, we've got some Chinese. You know, the Chinese, the Oriental people, aren't easily flim-flammed. They're smart people. And these people are from Hong Kong. And it's a Christian organization. It's called, the acronym is NAMI. In 2010, the archaeologists from NAMI reported that they had found an ark that they believed had a 99.9% chance of being the ancient biblical artifact known as Noah's Ark. The Epoch Times reported, the team of 15 researchers who were searching in East Turkey claimed to have found the ark on Mount Ararat at about the 13,000-foot level, above sea level. One of the team members, documentary filmmaker Wing Chung Yun, forgive me, I'm not too good at Chinese, it's not 100%, quote, it's not 100% that it is Noah's Ark, but we think that it is 99.9% that this is, reported the WorldNet Daily. What happens? Immediately they descend upon it, and they try to say it's a hoax. Well, here's what these people say. They say it seems the inside of the ark was equipped with several compartments that the group said could have been used to house animals, and it was. How many of you have been to this ark up here in Kentucky? You know, I haven't built any arks lately, but I'll tell you this. I think what they got up there is about as close to the Bible as you'll get. It's a wonderful experience for me. Loved every moment of it. Believed everything that I saw. I'm a Bible believer, and I would recommend any child to be taken up there and let them see this. Even this modern-day replica of the ark that's in Williamsburg, Kentucky, they fought tooth and toenail against having it built. What are they afraid of? Think about it. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of something, aren't they? In any event, it seems the ark was equipped with several compartments the group said could have been used to house animals, while skeptics said they could have been used just as easily to carry weapons or food. See how it goes? The search team and I personally entered a wooden structure. This is a quote now. The search team and I personally entered a wooden structure high on the mountain. The structure's partitioned into different spaces. We believe the wooden structure we entered is the same structure recorded in historical accounts and the same ancient boat indicated by the locals, said NAMI worker Man Phi Yun, I think. The team claimed they performed carbon dating tests on the wood and it was 4,800 years old. If true, this would date it approximately the time the vessel is said to have been afloat. No other testing by independent organization been done at that time that this team made its claims. Now, there's an independent research, and of course, these people that wrote this article right here have an open mind. They're not necessarily supported. But one man, Esperante, is convinced of the accuracy of the NAMI's team findings. He urges more rigorous, serious scientific work to support the claims with further empirical proof, wrote the Daily Mail. He also wants to team up with local scientists on the project. Quote, "We have technical resources and we can work together with local experts. Once the scientific community knows about the existence of Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, we can make it available to the general public." That's wishful thinking. They'll not make anything. The scientific community doesn't want to see Noah's Ark. They don't see anything that's going to support what we call the historicity of the Scripture. No way. They don't see it. They don't want any part of it. No part of it. Now, there are others, many others. These people have been challenged, and they have recently come out and said that we stick to our testimony, that what we saw, they photographed it, and they say what we saw and what we had tested is over 4,000 years old. You're going to be assaulted, believe me. They're going to come after you, and they're going to do everything they can to tear down your testimony. Now, when we talk about an ark, we must talk about a flood, shouldn't we? We have to talk about a flood. Now, we live here in East Tennessee, in western North Carolina, in Cherokee Indian country. The Cherokee Indian was here before we were. The Cree and many other Indian tribes throughout this country. I'm going to give you a short list of tribes, people around the world that have a witness, have a history of talking about an ark and a flood and everything that goes with it. They don't all agree on every point, but there's the vast majority of them agree on 3 points. And that is, the ark was provided, there was destruction by water, the human seed was saved. They agree on this. Let me read the list for you. The Assyrian, Babylonian Empire, Persia, Syria, Asia Minor, Greece, Egypt, Italy, Lithuania, Wales, Scandinavia, Lapland, Russia, China, India, Alaska, Eskimo, I don't know if I've got that right, and another one here. It's no vowel, so T-H-L, Thlinket, I guess, Cree, Cherokee, this is right where we are, Mandan, Lenni, Tekoi, Papagos, Pimas, Toltecs, Aztecs, Micoacan, Nicaragua, Peru, Brazil, the Leeward Islands, Fiji, Andaman Island, Hawaii, and Sumatra. And that's not an exhaustive list. But all over the world, all over the world, they believe there was a flood. And there was an ark. And that people were saved. One of the most remarkable testimonies to this is the Chinese. I've given it to you before, but some of you might not have heard it. And I wanted to give it to you again tonight. The Chinese write in glyphs, I guess you would call it. They have a culture that goes back for 5,000 years. The Chinese have been around a long time, long time. They talk about, let's just start here at the top. One glyph says, "Destroy with water. Moreover, a flood. Water, total, together, earth. 8, drown, water, cover, trap, all together." In other words, 8 souls are saved by being covered through the water. The ark, they talk about, a rectangle, a boat, a ship, a vessel, a ship, 8 people. Here we go with the number 8 again. Now, folks, this is not coming from the Bible. This is coming from the ancient literature of China. Torrent of rain, rain, abundant, full, sudden rain, water, complete, perfect, wide, dove, man, earth, mouth, bird. Where'd that come from? You read anything about a dove in your Bible? Sacrifice, flesh, again, command. Did they not say, were they not sacrificed? Every soul on this earth, but save 8. And then rainbow, rain, final part. See the rainbow? It's a remarkable thing. There was no rainbow on this earth until the flood came. You need to understand that. No rainbow. And no rain. The rainbow was the first rainbow is when God put it in the sky and said, "Now Noah, look at this thing. This is a covenant that I'm going to make with you that the earth will never be destroyed again with water." And that's a crying shame that perversion has hijacked the rainbow. Because we had that rainbow long before they did. Amen. So, do you believe the story tonight? Now, let me move a little bit past it. Recombinant DNA. CRISPR-Cas9. DNA. The image of God. We're living in the days of Noah. In the book of Genesis, it was about maintaining the purity of the human race. And that's where we are today. Are you a human being? Are you a real human being? Are you fully human? We live in a time when we have all kinds of stuff coming in. We've got these UFOs now. They're starting to talk about it. They're preparing people for something. They've known about this for a long time, but now they're giving it out publicly. Keep in mind, folks, the government only tells you what they want you to know. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. Don't ever trust Caesar. Don't ever trust him. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in the Lord. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean that possibly through this virus, through this DNA, through this vaccinations or whatever else that goes along with it, that people are going to be faced with a situation to where you will be put where you're vulnerable, and you could be controlled. You could be affected in ways that right now that seem unimaginable. When you talk like I'm talking tonight, people come along and say, "Well, preacher, that's conspiracy." No, it's not. It is no conspiracy that there's a virus out there killing people. I firmly believe tonight that that virus is a weaponized virus. If it's a weaponized virus, it was created. A recombinant means that you bring two DNA sources together to create one of your own. All right? And this is what's going on today. They are making something that they're going to unleash on the public. And when they unleash it on the public, you don't want to be here. The Lord said, when you see these days approaching, he's a gracious God. God's a gracious God. Yes, he is. You've got to have your head in a cave not to be able to see something coming down the road. Something's coming. And God is a long-suffering, merciful God. And by doing this, he's saying, "I'm giving you an opportunity. There's a window open now. There's a time available now where you can get right with God. But don't wait, because when the door is shut, it's shut. You see, as it was in the days of Noah, what happened? Who shut that door? God shut that door. And when God shut that door, the last soul was in. That's it, folks. There's no doubt they probably pounded on that thing and pleaded for mercy and said, "If there's any humanity in you, you're going to open this door and let us in." And they couldn't open it because God shut it. He said, "I close, no man opens. I open, no man closes." So that means that we are living in that window of time, that opportunity of time right now, where you can freely come and still be saved and born of the Spirit of God. But if you do this, if you send away this age of grace, this day of grace, this time of grace, the door will shut. And I won't shut it. I don't have the power to do that. I'm just a man. Thank God I'm going through the door. I'm not going to shut it on anybody. But when God shuts the door, that's it. Now, do you believe that you're living in the days of Noah? Yeah, do you believe you're living in the days of Lot? Do you know what God did in the days of Lot? He opened the heavens, and fire and brimstone came down out of heaven. Did you know? I've seen a number of videos on YouTube, and a couple of them are real good. There's one fellow goes over there, and he starts showing you right angle buildings. Right angles do not come naturally. See, a right angle is, this is a right angle. A right angle is something that must be made by a man. What do you say? Buildings. What you're looking at in the Dead Sea area are the remnants of buildings that once stood in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. When is that? 1900 BC, 3900 years ago. They're finding evidence all over Sodom of buildings where people lived, where they had been in there. And then God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven on them. I didn't do it. I don't have the power to rain fire and brimstone. God, thank God he didn't call on me to do that. He's the sovereign of the universe, and he makes that call. Fire and brimstone from God out of heaven. When you get into the book of Revelation, you'll read where it says a fiery stream went forth out of his mouth. In the book of Daniel, it talks about the fire around his throne. Fire flying in every direction. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Fire, folks. Fire. Like Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah when they walked into that burning fiery furnace. They might as well have been laying on a beach with a cool wind blowing across them. Because they were in there with a fourth one. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to know what they talked about. How you boys doing today? How do you feel? I'm proud of you, he says. Look at you. You made your choice. You chose me and you chose death over yielding to the unto this world. And they had a time, didn't they? Seven times hotter. You read it. Read the story over there. Burned up the ones that threw them in there. When they came out, not a hair on their head was singed. But something was burned away. Y'all remember what it was? The bonds. The bonds were gone. Isn't that amazing? Well, preacher, you know, that's the Bible. You really believe that stuff? Well, that's childish stuff. I believe it, friends. I believe it. I believe it. Well, and I also believe that they have found remnants of the Noah's Ark. And they may find more remnants of it. I firmly believe that. I also believe there's a lot of hoaxes. I certainly believe that. I believe that the people have a vested interest in creating a hoax and all that. Sure I do. But that ark is on top of Ararat. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Father, bless your word. The time we had together. Thank you that I can meet with my brothers and my sisters. Thank you, Lord, for this place, this good place. This is your church. These are your people. And you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. We're hearing your name, Lord. Your name. Your name is above every name. We bless your sweet holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up here tonight.